KVOE live and local, and welcome to the Monday edition of the Talk of Emporia. And this is the Central Care Cancer Center September edition of the Talk of Emporia. And we're very pleased to be joined once again by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center. Dr. Wazir, good morning.
Good morning, Ron. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing today?
Pretty good.
Thanks for taking some time out of your busy schedule to join us, as always. Good to have you here. Of course, every second Monday of the month, Dr. Wazir joins us for topics that we can hopefully help you with regarding cancer and the fine work done at Central Care Cancer Center, 1401 West 12th here in Emporia. And this month, the topic is going to be prostate cancer. Dr. Wazir, tell us about prostate cancer, exactly what it is.
Yeah, so prostate cancer is cancers that come out of the prostate. When we say prostate cancer, we are talking about adenocarcinoma of the prostate, which is the most common. Like, more than 95% is the of cancers coming out of the prostate are adenocarcinomas. A minority, less than 5%, are other kind of cancers that can come out of the prostate. The one which is probably most relevant is another type of prostate cancer called small cell prostate cancer, which is a more aggressive cancer, and you know, sometimes it's a transformation of the first kind, the more common kind, into the second kind. That too you have to look out. But essentially, prostate cancer is a cancer that comes out of the gland-forming parts of the prostate gland in men.
So what are some of the signs and symptoms we might look for?
Yep, sorry about that. Okay. So, yeah, well, sign and symptom-wise, it's kind of interesting, you know. Like, you may have heard of, like, prostatic symptoms as men get older. You know, there are problems, like, with urination. You know, they have hesitancy, urgency. They have to wake up at night, nocturia. They have to go multiple times. Every time they go and they urinate, it feels like they haven't emptied their bladder. All those symptoms are not typical of prostate cancer, right? Because the prostate cancer forms in the peripheral parts of the prostate gland, while the, you know, what we call as benign prostatic hyperplasia, which is, you know, the thing that causes most of those symptoms, that happens in what's called the transurethral zone, or the part of the prostate gland, which is right next to the tube that runs from the bladder through the penis in the outside, the urethra. So, you know, actually prostate cancer, at least in the initial stages, does not have a lot of symptoms. When it comes out of the prostate gland, you know, the cancer, you have to kind of like imagine the prostate gland being right next to the rectum in the back. You know, so it can, you know, sometimes locally invade into the rectum and cause symptoms, you know, related to, you know, blood in the stool or hesitancy, urgency, but those are rare. Other symptoms that you can have is from bone pain, you know, like, so the prostate, if you see anatomically, it's surrounded by this thing called a Batten plexus of lymph vessels. And these are like basically lymph vessels that go from the prostate gland and very quickly make their way into the bones of the back. So, you know, typically, you know, when we catch prostate cancer later in life, later in its course, it's with the cancer going into these bones in the lower back. So back pain is a common initial symptom. Fractures, you know, like, let's say a femur fracture, etc., can happen from cancer that has went from the prostate to the bones. But most often nowadays, we pick up prostate cancer because someone checked a PSA and the PSA was high.
Let's get forward with that. What kind of tests are necessary to confirm prostate cancer? Or is there any testing, pre-testing to be done?
Right. So PSA is a very useful test in prostate cancer. It's a prostate-specific antigen. It's a protein found on the surface of prostate cancer cells, but also normal prostate tissue. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot for the PSA to go up, you know, and unfortunately, this is its downfall as a screening test. You know, at one point of time, it was thought to be a screening test. Right now, for the general population, it's not thought to be a good screening test for prostate cancer because there are many reasons for prostate cancer to go high. Remember in med school, when we had our urology rounds, you know, we had to do digital rectal examinations. Even that digital rectal examination can throw off the PSA, for example, you know, because a normal protein expressed by the prostate. But yes, that's a useful test, a PSA, you know, both in detection and in following prostate cancer, even with its limitations. Once there is a PSA that's high and it meets certain criteria, usually the first person to deal with this issue is a urologist who can perform a biopsy, which is called a transrectal biopsy. So, you know, going through the through the anal canal and the rectum, they can put a needle in, and because the prostate is sitting right next to it, they can like systematically check all the cores of the all the nine cores of the prostate to make sure there's any cancer in it or not.
Is prostate cancer typically a quick progressor?
It is not. It is not. So I'll be a little macabre, but imagine if there's a bus with 100 people who are age 70. So Ron, if all of these people were to die suddenly, and I happen to be the pathologist and I check their prostate cancer, their prostates, how many of them do you think would have cancer?
10.
70%. So
70?
Yes, yes. So this is one of those cancers that most men will have, but most often it won't cause problems. It'll stain the prostate and, you know, you will die without knowing you have prostate cancer. You know, so it's one of those cancers that you have to be very careful about over-treatment, right? So a lot of the work in prostate cancer is just to kind of figure out which ones of this very common cancer, which happens as we get older, is the one that will actually come out of the prostate and start spreading and act like a cancer as you and me imagine, right? You know, to answer your question, yeah, I mean, it's a very common cancer, you know, but the trick is to kind of figure out which ones are the bad actors in those prostate cancers.
Dr. Ollie Wazir is with us, Central Care Cancer Center. This is the September edition of the Talk of Emporia. We're going to be talking a bit a little later on about a big event happening at the Central Care Cancer Center this week. In fact, it's this Wednesday, September 13th from 3 until 5, as Central Care Cancer Center celebrates 20 years. That is hard to believe here in Emporia. There'll be refreshments and a tour of the newly updated facility and the Trilogy radiation machine, as Dr. Wazir has brought up on a couple of occasions here, but he can go into more detail later on in the show. This is the September edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia, and we will be back with more right after this. KVOE live and local. This is the Central Care Cancer Center September edition of the Talk of Emporia on KVOE. And again, very pleased to be joined by Dr. Ollie Wazir from the Central Care Cancer Center, medical oncologist and hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center at 1401 West 12th in Emporia. You can log on to cccancer.com for all kinds of information from your local cancer center, the Central Care Cancer Center. Prostate cancer is our topic this month. Dr. Wazir, is there, a genetic component to prostate cancer?
Oh, yes, definitely, definitely. So, you know, like in women, you know, the BRCA gene increases the risk of breast cancer, ovarian cancer, in the same way, the same genes can also increase the risk of prostate cancer. This is a known association. It is definitely a cancer that can run in the families, and all people with prostate cancer should be screened not just for BRCA1 and 2, but also for other mutations such as ATM and CHEK2, which also run in the family and can increase the risk of prostate cancer. So there are a number of diseases that can increase the risk of prostate cancer, but there is also, a racial component, a family history component that is not captured with specific mutations, right? For example, African Americans seem to have prostate cancer earlier, and it seems to be more aggressive and with higher chances of leading to death and disability, compared to other racial groups. And it has to be some sort of genetic inkling over there. Another issue that comes up is that, you know, like if you are of one family where your parents, dad, uncles had prostate cancer earlier. By earlier, I mean, at age 60, at age 50, then, the same rules don't apply to you as it applies to the general population. You probably would benefit from PSA screening, digital rectal examination with your PCP. All these things are kind of important.
All right. What about screening measures that people at higher risk may have to get? Is there anything available on that front?
Yeah, I think personally, I feel that for people who have like strong family history or a known genetic component, they do deserve to get a PSA. There is always the risk of false positives and everything, but you know, we're not talking about the general population, we're talking about high risk groups. In those groups, I think a PSA is reasonable. I think that's something that is completely reasonable in my mind.
Central Care Cancer Center, this is Dr. Ali Wazir. He is with Central Care Cancer Center, medical oncologist and hematologist at the Central Care Cancer Center, 1401 West 12th. Their number is 342-1117, or you can log on to cccancer.com. Prostate cancer is our topic for the September edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia, and we will be back with more right after this. KVOE Live and Local, welcome back to the Monday edition, the September edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia, joined by Dr. Ali Wazir, Central Care Cancer Center medical oncologist and hematologist. We're talking about prostate cancer here this month. Dr. Wazir, treatments for prostate cancer, what are we looking at there?
Okay, so this is a little complicated, but I'll try to make it as simple as I can. So the way you treat prostate cancer really depends on a couple of things. So the first step is that, you know, you saw the urologist, he looked at the PSA, he saw it was going up. So there's a decision point where he has to decide whether I need to biopsy this, yes or no. He does that based on how quickly the PSA moves, you know, based on a number called a doubling time of, you know, what's the trajectory of the PSA increasing. When he makes that decision and he does the biopsy, the next decision point depends on what comes out of the biopsy. So there are two things to look for. One is that how much of the prostate is involved with the cancer. And then the cancer that came out, how much does it look like the parent tissue, like the normal prostate? Or does it look what we call dedifferentiated? Does it look much different from the prostate cancer, from the prostate tissue, which means it has collected more mutations and has become more aggressive? We give them a score. It's called a Gleason score. And it's basically the way we say it is like, you know, like you could be a Gleason 3 plus 4 equals 7, or you could be a Gleason 4 plus 3 equals 7, or you could be a Gleason 8, Gleason 9, Gleason 10, right? The inflection point is Gleason 7, right? So if you have a Gleason 3 plus 4, that means that, you know, you do not necessarily need, either surgery, which is removal of the prostate, either robotically or not, or radiation. Both are, options that have their own trade-offs, but both of them are potentially curative options. But, you know, once it's Gleason 4 plus 3 or Gleason higher than that, 8, 9, then everybody agrees that the prostate needs to come out, or there needs to be radiation treatment done to the prostate. The radiation treatment can be done externally, like we have a machine over here, you come over here and you get the radiation treatments over a course of a month or a month and a half. Or it could be done by implanting beads into the prostate, which are called brachytherapy beads. These beads are made of like cesium or other radioactive elements that these kind of stain the prostate and kind of like clear out the prostate cancer. This brachytherapy, unfortunately, is turning into kind of a lost art. They're not a lot of the newer doctors are trained in this. So what they do instead is that they use this machine called an HDR machine, which kind of like pumps like focus radiation into the prostate using a catheter. So that's an option too. But essentially the curative are these kind of like either radiation, either externally or through these what you call brachytherapy or, removal of the prostate through prostatectomy. Once you do this, then there's another decision point, and the decision point is that, okay, is this enough, or do we need to do something on top of it? Like, is surgery enough? Is the radiation enough? Or something else needs to be done with it to ensure that the prostate cancer doesn't come back. If you decide that, hey, this cancer is somewhat aggressive and it can come back, usually, you know, what they tell us is that you need to give them, hormonal therapy. To kind of prevent the prostate cancer coming back. In this setting, this specific setting, this is done for a year, and after that it stopped.
So what about the success rate of treatment of prostate cancer? Is it good?
Yeah, so, you know, just for the initial, the you know, the cure rates are more than 90%, you know, if you get radiation or surgery, you know, very high cure rates for most patients, right? There are, of course, exceptions to it, you know, and there are those patients in which the prostate cancer will come back. If we talk about prostate cancer that has come back and it's distant, you know, it's not thought to be a curable disease. But, you know, again, you know, prostate cancer in itself, it's a hormonal cancer, you know. Like if you block the testosterone, you can actually control this cancer for a long time. And the way we block testosterone is that we, you know, either, you know, we use a shot to kind of block the production of testosterone in the testes. And the shot can be given every month, every 3 months, or every 6 months, depending on, you know, the product, or with a pill that does more or less the same thing. So that's one part of the treatment. The second part of the treatment would be some kind of pill you add on to this. That blocks the testosterone within the cell, because unfortunately what happens is that eventually prostate cancer, you know, learns how to live with very low amounts of testosterone, right? And that you know, period in time is a very important period in the evolution of prostate cancer, and that's called castration sensitivity. Like they lose castration sensitivity. So, you know, initially prostate cancer can be treated for a number of years just with the shot, which I said, you know, every couple of months, along with the pill.
You mentioned genetics can play a big role in prostate cancer. What about lifestyle?
Right. Yeah, smoking is related to prostate cancer. But, you know, you kind of touched on something very important, you know. The genetics not only play a role in getting prostate cancer, but now it plays a role in the treatment of prostate cancer. So those folks, like, for example, like, let's say, God forbid, someone has prostate cancer. You had them on the shot. You had them on the pills. You got 2 years out of it, right? And now the prostate cancer starts spreading, right? The PSA start going up. There are more bone lesions. He's getting a fracture. You know, so not too long ago, the only option we had over here was to move on to chemotherapy, you know, and the chemotherapy works well and we have good agents for it. But, you know, people are hesitant. But now, actually, from the genes, if you have certain genes such as BRCA1, BRCA2, CHEK2, ATM, there's a bunch of them. Basically, you can control the prostate cancer with yet another pill that you just take that targets a mutation. So it is a very exciting time in prostate cancer because we have all these treatments and everything. Lifestyle-wise, honestly, apart from the smoking, like nothing else has really panned out that, you know, can predict the prostate cancer. There is this thought that, you know, that high testosterone levels in men, those men may tend to have higher risk of prostate cancer. So, you know, people who are on testosterone supplements, for example, they, you know, it's a note of caution for them that it does increase the risk of prostate cancer, perhaps, right? It's not very hard to kind of like sift through the data because, you know, men produce different amount of testosterone naturally as well. And there is, of course, you know, a segment of population who have low testosterone, who need treatment for testosterone. So you can't really say, like, how much more risk you have by taking testosterone supplements.
Great information, as always, from Dr. Ali Wazir, Central Care Cancer Center, located right here in Emporia. We are very fortunate to have this wonderful medical facility right here at home. In Emporia, it's 1401 West 12th Avenue. You can call 342-1117 or log on to cccancer.com. Well, let's touch on, before we leave, Dr. Wazir, about a big event happening this Wednesday, September 13th, from 3 until 5, a little party to celebrate 20 years here in Emporia.
Yeah, we are very excited, and everybody is cordially invited. You know, please do show up. You know, so I think the thing is that we were planning to upgrade the radiation machine, but it also coincided with our 20th years, you know, anniversary. So we thought, you know, we should also reach out to the community who we serve, and, you know, all our colleagues at the hospital, and our surgeon colleagues, and radiology colleagues, and you know, of course, Ron yourself and other people who help us do our job every day, you know, to come in and, you know, just spend some time with us. You know, there'll be food, there'll be a walk around, and you'll get to see a radiation machine. Of course, it'll be turned off, so nothing, you don't have to be worried about it. But yeah, we are very excited to welcome everybody, you know, for this event, which we are having.
Yeah, and it's from 3 to 5 this coming Wednesday, September 13th. At Central Care Cancer Center, 1401 West 12th, there'll be tours of the newly updated facility, and as a doctor was there, said the new Trilogy radiation machine. And how is that working?
Yeah, so we started radiation actually last week. People have started getting their treatments with radiation after a break of almost 2.5-3 months. So Justin, who is our coordinator for the radiation, everything did an amazing job keeping us on schedule. It's a lot of work. I was just surprised by the amount of like cables and machines and everything coming in. It was, truly, these are like marvels of science. These machines, linear accelerators. We're excited to have this machine, and patients are back getting treatments, and everybody checked the machine. Everything seems to be working well. So, yeah, we're excited.
Well, we invite everybody to stop by this coming Wednesday, September 13th, Central Care Cancer Center, celebrating 20 years here in Emporia. Dr. Wazir, always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me, and I hope to see you on Wednesday.
On Wednesday, Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center, in with the September edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia here on KVOE Live and Local.